All right, boys and girls, gather around, sit on my knee. I have many stories to tell from this morning's show. It's the John DiBella Show Daily Podcast, Thursday's morning show extravaganza, trimmed down, clipped, condensed to a bite-sized podcast for your listening enjoyment. Trees were down everywhere on the way into work today. It was an interesting commute to the station. We started off there. We talked about our quest to find the perfect album, and we need your help for that. A senator in Mexico made a mistake during a big Zoom conference. James Dean was in Song Stories today. We heard about influencers trying to get clout off the protests. We shared some shower thoughts this morning and talked to Tommy Shaw of Styx, who confirmed something Gene Simmons told us earlier in the week. Find out about all of that right here, right now. It is the Daily Podcast.
I had to turn around 5 different times because of streets I was on that had a tree down on them. Yeah. Right. And just for, you know, your own edification, police departments around the Delaware Valley, putting the warning for the tree down in front of the tree is not necessarily the best spot.
Imagine if tree crews did that.
Right. You know, this happened to me this morning. I'm on Conshohocken State Road, you know, between, you know, there's Conshohocken State Road where it makes the right, you know, and then there's Hollow Road the other way. Right. The tree is down in the middle of the road. They put the damn thing in front of the tree.
Brakes now.
Right. Not at the corner where I could have, like, oh, you can't go up this street. No, let's put it right in front of the tree.
That had to leave a nice tire tread mark.
Oh, God.
Steve's neighbors have a tree in their living room.
Yes.
Yeah,
they are going to have
it. So it could be worse.
An entire new house.
they totaled the house with that?
They're going to have to. The entire back of the house is going to have to be taken off and put a new back on, which is going to be new siding around the whole house.
Well, that's nice for you. 100. Get rid of that eyesore. Vinyl siding gone.
Have you ever seen the Arata tree trucks around the neighborhood? You
no.
Ever seen those?
Mm-hmm.
All I ever see is Asplund.
Right. Chris Arata is an old friend of mine. Okay. And whenever a tree would go through a house, he'd call me and go, "We have penetration." Right? You know? So one day he calls me and he says, "You've got to come over and see this." And it was this house that wasn't too far from my house. And you know, I got the "We got penetration" call. And he had been telling this guy for years, "You really should do something about this tree." And this is another one of those tree huggers. No, it's a living thing. I don't want to. He says, "Look," he says, "it's totally unbalanced, and it's this big oak tree."
Sure.
Right?
Oh,
and
man.
Oak trees don't take crap from nobody.
Yeah.
All right? It's a big oak tree. It's completely unbalanced. And there's this one arm of the tree that is coming out, and that arm could have been the, you know, the trunk of the tree. That's how big that arm was.
Yeah.
And the trunk was even bigger. All right? Storm comes. Husband is on the third floor, right, taking a shower. All right. I'm sorry. He's on the second floor taking a shower. Tree comes down, comes through the house.
Right.
Next thing the husband knows is he's on his side in the shower because the tree has come through and just taken the, and now he's on like a 45 degree angle trying to get out of the shower.
Right.
It goes through the roof. It goes through the, you know, the ceiling of the, you know, the attic. It goes through the second floor. It goes into the first floor where there is a grand piano. And the arm of the tree hits the piano, drives the legs through the floor.
Oh, wow.
Flat, and that, now the piano is flat to the floor.
It's like a missile.
And there's 3 legs coming out of the ceiling in the basement.
Wow.
Right? Do not screw with trees.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Loud noises!
102.9 MGK.
Did you see the moon? He didn't. I asked him already. Did you see the moon coming in this morning?
I did.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, nearly
big
full.
Big yellow moon this morning. 66 degrees outside right now. Mostly sunny. It's going to be humid. Still some showers, and it could be heavy duty today, tonight, tomorrow. Temperature today getting up to 90 degrees, but 66 degrees outside at the moment. We started talking about this yesterday, and maybe it's something you'd want to take part in. We refer to it as the perfect album. What do you believe the perfect album is? Because a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about what's your favorite album, what's the weakest song on it, right? What album, in your estimation, doesn't have a weak song, that every single song on that album is absolutely perfect? All right, we want to know what it is, and we want to interview you about it. So what we need from you is the album, your name, a daytime phone number, a number we can reach you at any time, either when we're on the air or off the air, and just send all that information to album@wmgk.com. And next week, we'll start talking to people about their nominations and kind of narrow it down to a few.
Heck yeah.
And let the world decide what the perfect album is. I'm going with Led Zeppelin 1. I was thinking about it, you know, between Led Zeppelin 1 and Led Zeppelin 2.
Flip a coin.
And no, it's definitely more Led Zeppelin 1, even though A Whole Lot of Love is on 2, right? Steve doesn't have one.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like Bananarama.
Right, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, whatever Cruel Summer was on.
Right.
I'd recommend Keith Moon's Two Sides of the Moon. It's a great solo effort.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Yeah, how could you not have a favorite album?
Well, I mean, I just don't have a favorite album that...
is perfect?
Yeah, I don't really think there is a perfect album.
You only listened to like the one or two hits on every album, didn't you?
No. No.
Steve was a single buyer.
I listened to Weird Al's entire Bad Hair Day album.
Nominate that. Why not?
All right. Dave's going with Led Zeppelin. Are you sticking with Led
Zeppelin? I'm sticking with four. Heck yeah. Right.
That's your answer to everything, though. You realize how often.
It's pretty much the first album I ever got in the classic rock realm. So left a dent.
Well, whatever it is for you, folks, we want to know about it. So send your name, a daytime phone number, and the name of the album to album@wmgk.com, and maybe you'll end up a radio star with your opinion.
The John DiBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Now, Sin, let me ask you something, because we've been on Zoom with you. You've done some video conferencing with us and with the listeners. Have you done any beyond that? Did you have to do any for work, any meetings or anything like that on Zoom? Nothing?
No. All right. They just leave me alone as far as work is concerned.
Okay, all right. The reason why I bring it up is there's a senator in Mexico, a woman named Martha Lucia Mitcher. And she needs to bone up on her tech skills. You know, the older people get, the worse their tech skills are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. During a Zoom meeting with at least 15 other senators, 66-year-old Mitcher seemed to forget or not realize that the webcam is live. She's not like kind of taping this and sending it in, that everybody's there. They're all watching. She decides to make a wardrobe change.
Yes.
Right. Because her bra was uncomfortable.
All right.
So off comes the shirt, off comes the bra, all on camera, right? And she refers to it as an unfortunate incident.
Yes.
Right?
And every male congressman refers to it as the opposite.
I'm trying to see what she looks like to decide if it's an unfortunate incident or not.
All right.
What's her name?
Her name is Maria Lucia Mitcher. M-I-C-H-E-R, or Mishir. I'm not
was
sure.
Was there like a break in the meeting, or was everybody still talking?
Everybody was still talking, and she got up and just like, la-di-da.
Mi amor.
Here are the boys.
Does she lean to the left or right?
It was blurred.
Ah,
right. Curses. But it was a really big blur.
The John DiBella Podcast.
He's got this one wrong. Yeah, of course he's got it wrong.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Everything out of his mouth is going to be wrong.
MGK.
You know, with the Radiothon coming up, the Veterans Radiothon's coming back. It will happen because all you need is the phone and all we need is your money. All right, but it is coming back on June 19th. And one of the things that we have, because we have that auction for the Veterans Radiothon each and every year, is Johnny Van Zandt, who's become a real good friend of the show, got us an autographed guitar by everyone in the band, right? So it's the entire band on one guitar. So that is something you will be able to, place a bid on. Presently, 68 degrees outside, humid with some sun, showers are possible, a high temperature, about 90 degrees. Speaking of things that are coming up, later on this hour, we're going to do shower thoughts, those ideas that come into your head that you normally don't talk to people about, but you usually come up with them while you're in the shower. If you've got one, text it on into us to MGK, MGK, at 645-645.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Viking Pest Control. Got pests? Call the Viking. Viking Pest Control. It took three tries for the Eagles to get a number one hit off their third album, On the Border. The first single, Already Gone, barely made 40. James Dean didn't even do that well. Best of My Love, That's the one that went to number one in a chop tar, a chart topper, not a chop topper, chop topper.
So, far, chop shop.
Well, Bernie Leadon from the Eagles really loved James Dean, and here's what he had to say about it.
That was a cool song. My recollection of that is that it was one that Jackson Browne started. It could have been Jackson and JD started it, and Glenn Frey helped finish it, I believe. And Jackson and Glenn Frey wrote Take It Easy, too. That was also one that Jackson started and Glenn helped him finish. James Dean was one of those.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Is it just me? You know, when you get people who are like seriously self-centered, usually they're called influencers. Do you find joy in something bad happening to those people?
Oh, yeah. Classic Schadenfreude.
Okay. Check out this one. An influencer by the name of Fiona Moriarty McLaughlin, right, because you just don't have enough names, is in some well-earned heat for a stunt that she pulled during the riots in Santa Monica.
Okay.
She and a friend had pulled off the road where they interrupted a store owner who was trying to board up his business. So offering the help, she stuck around long enough to get photographed with a screwdriver in her hand.
I saw this.
Looking like she's hard at work.
There's a video out there swirling up
there. And literally, as soon as the person got the picture, she put the drill down, got back in their car, drove away in her Mercedes.
Was it a Mercedes? I knew it was a luxury car.
Yeah, right. And all the time, some passerby took a video of what she was doing, and they posted that, and she is in deep caca because of it. One of the Washington Examiner is somebody that she is an influencer for. Oh, let me correct that. Was somebody she was an influencer for. Yeah. As the people who she's an influencer for see what she's done, right? They're just dropping her like a hot potato.
Yeah, nice. Video killed the influencer star, too.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Led Zeppelin from their nearly perfect second album. Right?
I know what you're doing. For Dave, that was two albums too early.
It was two albums too early. And Dave's got a great one. Dave's Led Zeppelin 4, it's a nearly perfect album also. Neither one of them as good as Led Zeppelin 1. I mean, speaking of Led Zeppelin 1, the artwork from Led Zeppelin 1 is up for sale, the original artwork. And what do they call that style of artwork?
Stippling.
Stippling, it's just all dots.
Tiny dots make up a big picture as a whole. They wanted to sort of recreate that photocopy effect at the time, which was real hot. Andy Warhol and all that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was... anyway, right now at auction at Christie's, it's up to $28,000.
Wow.
And the folks at Christie's say it may sell for between $20,000 and $30,000. Wow.
You know what the original artist... Go ahead.
No, I said they really went out on a limb on that one.
Yeah, seriously. The original artist I looked up made a big fat $76.
$76.
Wow. The Boys in Zeppelin, yeah.
That's like the guys who sold Superman comics in the 30s for like $3 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, first edition.
But what we're talking about with the perfect album is, and we brought this up yesterday, we're looking for it. I mean, there are some albums, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about, your favorite album, but the weakest song that was on it. All right, now, what is the album where every song is just as good as the previous one? I think it's Led Zeppelin 1. Dave thinks it's Led Zeppelin 4. Steve doesn't have an opinion, right? But we want to know what yours is. So send us your name, a daytime phone number, and the album title that you believe is the perfect album where every song is just as good as the previous one. Send it to album@WMGK.com, and then we will do our best to get you on the air and get your opinion, and then we'll have a big vote and get everybody's opinion and find out what the perfect album is. Right now, though, it's time for us to get to all of these texts that are coming in, and people are sending in texts for a perfect album. Folks, when I leave the studio, I will never find this stuff again. So that's why we have an email address, album@WMGK.com. Don't text them to us. But do turn the shower on over there, Dave, would you?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, I'll get some music for you. And once again, it's time to get the shower thoughts. And these come from listeners. We don't have names because all we get is phone numbers. I can't spend the morning just calling people back. What's your name? Bob? Okay. All right, let me get it started. We only say "Hey, stranger" to people we know.
Hmm. Ah. Oh, I like that. That's genius. When you're swimming underwater, you're also swimming above water.
Oh, wow.
Think about that.
Okay, yeah. All right. Steve?
Okay, I get it. Milk is the only bodily fluid that we're allowed to drink in front of people.
Wow. That is a perverted listener. The fork at the restaurant has been in thousands of other mouths.
Oh, man. Wow.
Great. People would probably still visit Jurassic Park despite being warned by countless books and movies. I'd be one of them.
Yeah, I would too.
Yep, sign me up.
I would too.
One-armed people are probably so much better at spooning than the rest of us. I mean, we've got that little raptor arm, right?
When we next Rick Allen interview.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to ask.
We'll confirm.
What side do you spoon on? Taking the first bite of a burger determines where the front is.
I've never thought of it that way.
Neither did I.
A classic question, why do noses run and feet smell?
Okay.
Yep. Ponder that.
All right. Yep. All right. If you are aroused by dirty talk, your genitals are technically voice activated.
And lastly this morning, someone put a lot of thought into this shower thought. Eventually, once all phones are waterproof, we will no longer have shower thoughts.
Oh, wow. The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9.
I'm
John. Hiya, Tommy.
Good morning, John.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. For not really being a morning person, I've had to become, I've become one lately. And so it kind of reminds me of my days back in Michigan when I had a farm. Got to get up because now we have chickens. During the pandemic, we've gotten 3 chickens. And so they need to be fed, and I have 2 dogs and a cat. They want to be fed, and then all that goes along with that. And I'm just, like, how did I become this morning person? It's wonderful, Doug. It's a great way to wake.
Give me the story behind this. I'm not sure how many people know that you released a cover version of Led Zeppelin's Going to California, but this has been laying around for a while. This is from Shaw Blades days?
Yeah, it's like the tail end of the Shaw Blades days. Bands were starting to get back together, and everyone, the solo projects and things like that. There's constant change.
Mm-hmm.
And, after we did this Influence album with all the covers, then this kind of came along after that. Willie Bankovich and I, let's try it. So it was just the two of us. And so we recorded it and kind of set it aside. But since there haven't been any shows and we're not touring, and we're so used to providing content and music experience for our fans, we've all just been going through, what do we have or what can we do? We've run 4 separate Saturday nights of remixed live concert recordings, because we record every concert on a multi-track hard drive.
Uh-huh.
We've post-produced those. So it's kept everybody very busy. It's a chance for Styx fans to have a little bit of a Styx fix. That's what we call it. I don't know about you, but I'm busier now than I ever am when we're on the road.
So not being on the road, I don't think people realize how grueling it is to be a rock star on the road or be any musician on the road, really. And there's got to be a great joy in coming home. But now that you've been home for so long, what do you miss the most about the road?
Well, the mornings, I can sleep in, get up maybe 10 o'clock, something like that, and look around and get up, take my time, go find a cup of coffee and see about lunch, and then hang out in my room or go walk around town, and then we'll check out in the middle of the afternoon, go to the gig, and there's more food and a sound check. No one's calling me on the phone. The work on the road comes at the end of the day.
That's mm-hmm.
You really have to be careful with the amount of energy that you spend. You don't want to wind up 8 o'clock and going, man, I'm beat.
Right, right. Okay, you're on.
That's prime time. So it's a whole different model than living here on the farm.
I met you around the time of Paradise Theater. When you joined the band, what was the first show that you did, and were you headliners? Were you openers? Where were you? What did you do?
It was in Ohio, and I remember I came up and I immediately got sick. I got a cold or the flu. So that's how I started. That's one of those things that happens.
Sure,
show on, and something about a show kind of gives you it's like a little booster shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to be well now for the next 90 minutes.
Right, right. What was the first band that you opened for that you were like, oh, my God, we're opening for them?
Kiss.
Really?
That'll do it.
Yeah. this band that I played in called MS Funk, we had really slugged it out for sort of 2.5-3 years on the road, and disco music came up and just sort of swallowed up all the few gigs that we had. I went back to my hometown, and at the invitation of some friends that I played with before I left Montgomery, and it was in a bowling alley lounge, and no, there was no dance floor. It was about 100 people could come in, and they just listened to the music. It was so nice, and they were there just for the music. And one day we got a call from this guy who was a fan of the band, and he said the band that was supposed to be opening for Kiss tonight at Garrett Coliseum, they had their equipment truck broke down. Would you guys be interested in coming and opening for Kiss?
Oh my God.
Yes, we would. But we were barely an electric band. You know, a lot of acoustic. I still played my pedal steel guitar, and we did a lot of like Eagles, Dan Fogelberg, but there we were at Garrett Coliseum, and I walked around, and I ran into Gene Simmons, and I asked him, would he mind if we took a sound check? And he looked at me like, what? So he kind of explained where we stood on the food chain.
Well, you know, that's very interesting, because we recently spoke to Gene. He's not a man to brag. And he said that they always treated opening acts like gold. They knew what it was like to be an opening band, and they never wanted anybody to feel second place to them.
So let me finish the story.
Okay.
They never have given an opening act like us, just a little club band. A sound check, they gave us a sound check.
I guess you didn't really need it if you're doing Fogelberg covers.
So there we were opening for Kiss, and it wasn't long after that. Styx was opening for Kiss. One time up in Canada, we were playing, and we were bigger in Canada first than we were in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And I were in Montreal, getting out of a limo, and there's Gene and Paul walking down the street, and they see me getting out of a limo, and I was like, this is so ironic here. So we see each other every so often, and we have mutual friends, and we're big fans of those guys.
When you first joined Styx as a kid from Montgomery, Alabama, going up to meet a few guys and audition for three or four guys from Chicago, was there any sort of, not so much cultural differences, but did you guys hit it off right away?
Well, musically, yeah. I mean, it was so fast, you know. I took a guitar with me and some tapes, and I never actually even took the guitar out of the case. The main thing was just, can you hit that high note in Lady? I did. And I'm still doing it.
Tommy, stay well. Enjoy the eggs. I hope to see you before the summer is over. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
The John DeBello Podcast.
Oh, isn't it sweet?
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
The Rolling Stones. Remember, it's Jones and for Stones weekend all weekend long. We've got blocks for you every hour. About the I got lost there for a moment.
Don't ask me to help.
No, you can't because I was going from one thing for Jones and the Stones.
Get a drill, Steve. Let's go in his brain.
That's it. Open it up. We got to see it.
No.
I remember what it is. It was, I guess Gene was telling the truth.
Oh.
When we spoke to Gene the other day,
yes.
He was telling the truth.
Yep.
I don't know.
I
had passed out from lack of oxygen when Gene was on. I missed that whole thing.
You know, but
it was a podcast.
Yeah, it is a podcast if you missed Gene the other day. And I have to say, that's probably one of the best Gene interviews we've ever done, because it really wasn't selling anything.
Right.
When we asked him about the thing that he was supposedly selling,
right,
he didn't want to talk about it, right? And he, you know, and he just told stories. How rare.
Yeah.
How absolutely
really
rare.
The John DeBella Podcast.
This, wow.
John DeBella.
Wow, you're so dominant.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Wow.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.